This is Gaten the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it. Welcome back to Gaten the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today, and in today's episode, we are talking One Piece. Today, we are making our first steps into the political ideas which underpin One Piece, and this isn't necessarily going to be a series per se. I do have plans to talk about some other things in the next coming episodes, but in today's episode particularly, I do want to dive into one of my first ideas of which has really stuck out to me recently within the One Piece narrative from what I've read. So I am in the middle of Marineford right now, so this analysis is very tied to pre-timeskip One Piece, and yes, there might be things that I'm sure will underpin the rest of the narrative going forward, but at least today I am making reference specifically, or at least exclusively, to the things prior to the timeskip and prior to the New World. This political idea which I want to discuss today is control, and in part ideas of hegemony and dominance. In this episode, what I want to talk about is what these ideas are, and more specifically, how do they impact One Piece? How do they impact how we view what One Piece is? I don't know whether this will be on YouTube in time or at the usual time, but yes, it will be here on audio. It will be late because I know when I'm recording this, but here is the episode for this week. That is episode 77 of Gaten the Mecha. What is control in One Piece? As always on the show and on Gaten the Mecha, I like to provide you my alerts before we dive into the anime and manga which we're speaking about, because I sadly don't want you blaming me for spoilers, and I don't want to give you guys spoilers either. So for this episode, I am, as I said, we'll be talking about the majority of pre-timeskip One Piece. That being said, I haven't finished Marineford, nor have I read anything past Marineford, and so I simply can't and I'm not attempting to comment on that. I'm sure that this will be able to ignite conversation further into other parts of the narrative as well, but do acknowledge that my view of these ideas are limited to this part, because I think it's very relevant to talk about this part of the narrative. But simply because I just think that there's a lot of material that goes to prove this point, or at least facilitate us talking about control as an idea. Also, besides the very main thing which this analysis comes from, which we'll get into, I'm going to be rather general. There will be some specific zoom-ins, but I'm not really going to go into, oh yeah, this scene said this, and go into a big amount of detail on that, and blah blah blah. I really just want to talk about the general world, because this is probably the most fundamental thing that underpins One Piece as a world as a whole, and it's really how we manage to understand it which is important. And so not a very narrow analysis, maybe a narrow idea you could argue, but I'm not really trying to get into very specific examples, but look at everything as a whole. I find One Piece a very intriguing manga. Yes, there are a lot of things which I found interesting about it prior, and maybe were the things that tipped me to reading it, but the real thing that really tipped me off the edge was the politics, besides just its narrative and Oda's art style and all those other things. Yes, we can argue that politics is imbued within every piece of media, and I do agree with that. Almost every text, and you can argue language, is dipped in politics to some extent. But what I like so much about One Piece is that it sheds a light on these very particular ideas, ones which I find quite special, or maybe special isn't the term, but I find very engaging, and I really like to engage in discussion regarding these ideas. And one of them, or at least two of them, are control and hegemony. I know there'll also be some people that say hegemony, and there's nothing wrong with pronouncing it like that, but I'm going to be saying hegemony. So what exactly do we mean by hegemony? And the Cambridge Dictionary defines hegemony as the position of being the strongest and most powerful, and therefore being able to control others. It is essentially being in a position to control. And what we will look at within this episode, and what we will see, what we can see within One Piece, is that there are people within a hegemonic position. In this case, that is the world government or the states, but we will dive into that as I move forward. This is quite a simple definition, but it really works for our understanding and purpose of this episode today. It additionally reveals that we are talking about two more fundamental ideas, being power and domination. This whole episode isn't dedicated to these two things, but they are very essential for understanding hegemony and control and how they factor into all of these. While we're still on definitions, I thought it would also be essential to talk about the state, and a very interesting definition, one that I really like, probably one of my favorite definitions of the state. I know it's a bit weird to have a favorite understanding of the state, but that for me is that of Max Weber. I'm not going to give too much context, but Weber is basically a 19th century historian as well as thinker, very influential in his works and writings, so I do recommend checking him out if that's what you're interested in. What Weber basically says, he has a lot of things to say, but one of the things he says is that the state has a monopoly on violence. However, where it gets very interesting and where it's probably the most exciting thing about it is that the state in itself is in a position which legitimizes its use of that force. The very violence of which it uses is legitimized by its position as the state. Weber's ideas might not particularly fit perfectly with what we're talking about here in One Piece, and I was talking about the world government and how they oppose the pirates and those things, but it's still a great way of understanding how One Piece's politics are constructed from the ground up. If we have this understanding of the state and how it manages to utilize violence and how it legitimizes it, we can then go forward to see how it does this and how it applies this in actuality. Our real starting point when it comes to the idea of control comes from this quote from Doflamingo in chapter 553 of the Marineford arc. For the sake of being safe, I'm going to basically summarize it. So basically, Doflamingo is standing in the middle of Marineford, or at least where the war is taking place at Navy headquarters, and is debating this idea of what justice is, and equally the positions of the Marines and the pirates. These ideas are simply ones which are imposed on them. How people view the Marines or the pirates are simply ideas which can be rejigged around, and how these will be jigged around on whoever really wins the war at Marine headquarters. Whoever manages to take the prize, which is, yes, winning this war, will ultimately be able to shape the world going forward, or some of these ideas. This in itself might be one of my favorite bits of dialogue within One Piece so far, and within Marineford, honestly, it might just be my favorite moments within the manga. As we've discussed for previous works and pretty popular ones like Attack on Titan, it essentially manages to reflect back on not only the Marineford War, but it reflects back on everything which has happened up to this very point within the manga. There's already quite a lot to extract from the very raw quote itself, but it is more than simply a call to arms and Doflamingo just being a bit outgoing and crazy, and even just reducing it to the argument of Doflamingo blurring the lines of justice, which is already a thing kind of within One Piece. But the goal of this podcast for me is to really try and dive deeper into this quote and this idea, which will really allow us to access control as a whole based on how it does talk back on the rest of the narrative to date. To understand this a bit more, we need to get a pretty good understanding, or at least reduce our very understanding of what One Piece is, and what even the Marineford War is. One Piece concerns the tension between pirates and a government. We can argue that the government is a part of this larger machine, which is the state. The state and the government aren't necessarily, in literal terms, they aren't the same thing. However, the government slots into this larger machinery, which is why I'm kind of going to be a bit inaccurate and use the blanket term of the state. So when I am saying the state for ease, I'm often talking about the world government, warlords of the sea, the people that side with the Marines. Yes, I could say the Marines, but I think it's a bit more theoretically accurate if I say the states rather than just having to switch between the world government, warlords, etc. However, that doesn't really stop here. What this really is the conflict about is one between anarchy and order. I don't mean anarchy in the accusatory way, because we do get that a lot in politics today, and when I say anarchy, I mean it in the very literal sense. The pirates are the most embodiment of anarchy. It is an anarchical act, or anarchic act, to perform piracy in the context of seafaring in an unregulated fashion. And then, as I said, for the state, we have order. We do have to be careful with the idea of order, though, because order is a very fragile idea, as One Piece manages to prove. It is order by appearance. It is one which is imposed on the people who... It is an idea that is almost imposed, but it's also one which is agreed on by the people which live within said country or nation or the world, because that is the funny thing about One Piece. It is very extended to the world, living under one government as opposed to loads of smaller governments. So that gets a bit interesting, but it also makes our lives a bit easier. So why is this so significant? Why does it matter so much that we have order and anarchy battling against each other? Aren't those just like two descriptive words? No. Where it gets really good is that this is so significant for One Piece, because we realize that anarchy and order simply cannot coexist. And I mean this theoretically as well. The state fears anarchy. It fears anarchy because it tarnishes their power. It almost delegitimizes, or is a threat to the very power they have. It's a threat to the dominance which they have, which maintains the very order which they have over their citizens. The hegemonic position which they have is one which isn't questioned, and when we have anarchy which fundamentally questions their existence, that is where we have a problem, and that is why this conflict exists, and is one which I don't think is really going to end. It undermines the very discourses and narratives which they impose on people, and the ones which they've constructed for themselves, but I'll get to that a bit later. On the other hand, anarchy calls for the absence of the state, and it, to an extent, calls for the collapse of authority. It is opposed to authority. Piracy beyond the boat stuff is unauthorized. Yes, there are hierarchies within the pirating world. We have the Whitebeard pirates and all the levels and things like that. We have crews, and within the crews we have the captain, so there is hierarchy to some extent. But the level to which they are enforced and legitimized is on a different level to that of the state. As I said, based on Weber's idea of the state, it is able to enforce and legitimize its use of violence for maintaining order, maintaining quote-unquote civil society. Additionally, the monopoly on violence is one which pirates don't have access to. Yes, they can use violence, they have the ability to do so, they might have the capacity, but they don't have a monopoly. They don't own violence in a sense. That's why we have a monopoly. The state is able to use it because it is legitimized. Anyone else that does it doesn't have the ability to do so in that sense, because it isn't legitimized. They don't see it as the right thing to do, because that is seen as wrong, and hence you shouldn't be violent. And that is where the whole thing on the monopoly comes in. But basically in One Piece we are seeing a clash of ideology, or a clash of ideas. Two ideas that fundamentally cannot exist together. It also is much easier when we have a almost globalized world and a globalized government. There are smaller systems within it, obviously, but the world government has a very firm and very obvious hegemonic position within the One Piece world. It is the elite that run this society. I'm sure I've said this a couple times, but it is essential to establish what does this all mean, and we can throw jargon around the place and say that this is what this political term means, but what does this mean for One Piece? What does this mean for Luffy? What does this mean for Garp? What does this mean for the One Piece world? Firstly, we can already say that the people who have control are the world government, or the elites, and the surrounding institutions of which this is all enshrined within. We've been able to see that they have the ability to control much more than the law and military-related things, or things which all fit under the umbrella term of hard power. They do have the ability to do this, hence why they have the monopoly on violence and stuff. That makes sense. That's why they have the ability, in the case of almost all of One Piece so far, to do all these crazy things, not only because of resources, but the legitimate nature of their use of the very resources of which they have. But they have something else, which is probably a much more important, and that is the ability to control language, meaning, interpretation, and most importantly to me, history. When I say ability, I mean it's just something that they have the privilege of doing based on their very position of which they're in. If we use a few pre-time skip examples, stuff like the Ohara incident, one which was subject to basically historical revisionism, the government deeming those involved as devils and enemies of the state simply for seeking knowledge of which they found threatening to their very position as the government, from what I assume. And then this all folds back on itself, because if we go back to the legitimate use of violence and force, a much simpler one would be deeming the pirates as enemies of the state too, or creating a bounty system, for example. Putting targets on people's head implies that these are people which aren't good for society, these are people that damage order, and in order to preserve order within society, these are people who should be quote-unquote rid of. And by the way, this isn't, and this is kind of where I want to end. I won't end quite here, but this is the point which I'll eventually end on. This isn't really a comment on whether the Straw Hats are good or bad, or whether pirates are good or bad. This isn't really the point of this podcast. And I know there will be people that comment on this, and that there's the view that you shouldn't really like Luffy, he's a bad person. Or, no, the Marines are bad, you can't like these people. Or, oh no, Luffy's good. Or, oh no, the government's just doing what they should do. And I don't want to fall into any of these, because the point of this episode and the point of this idea or notion of control is that it isn't about who is bad or good. You can make your own minds up, but this is really to say that our idea and how the citizens of the One Piece world and the world view people is how the state perceives them. It is simply how the world government creates them to look like. It's how they construct this image of the pirates, which influences how people do so. I'm not really telling you to learn from One Piece, again, that's not the point of this episode, but just like politics today, One Piece shows that the construction of narratives is what influences people to how people think and how people take stances. Whether something is true or not, it's how it's constructed, and when we think about it, almost everything we believe politically is one of which is constructed. And it's the ones which we think we believe are most plausible, which we agree with, but that doesn't rule out the fact that it is a construct. When Doflamingo discusses these notions of justice and the Marines and the pirates, it's not only about making history and influencing future events of the narrative, but it also concerns how we morph our understanding of the prior events within the narrative too. How those are perceived and how we read them will appear very different in the context of a new hegemonic group, or at least the hegemonic group being the state, collapse in the One Piece world. How we understand the very construct of history moving forward will be influenced, not only the events that happen after Marineford. Marineford is a fight for history. Who takes control of history is really what Marineford is all about in the very sort of philosophical sense. This obviously depends on your stance regarding morals and moral philosophy and stuff, but I don't really think that it's worth getting too bogged down on when it comes to One Piece particularly. Oda shows us that politics is a very fragile thing, but it's also very embedded within how we live our lives. But we must acknowledge that our lives are based on constructed ideas and ideologies, and that is what we abide by because it works within our own interests. What I also find a bit, maybe not off-putting, but a reason why I don't engage also in the good bad thing too much is that it's equally because of the lessons which One Piece teaches us, or at least some of the things which it manages to bring to the table politically. As it shows, most of the way we live our lives is by legitimizing a state unconsciously. We don't particularly sign a literal contract to say, yes, we agree to the state. Yes, we have documentation stuff, but we don't literally sign, yes, I agree, as soon as we're born. No, we legitimize it by simply following the order, and those that disagree with the order are instantly seen as a threat to the state. Again, the extent to which it is magnified or amplified within One Piece is for narrative effect, as I would expect, but we kind of even see it today. I like to use memes as examples, and okay, this isn't really a meme, but it's a bit of a joke, but it's sort of like when someone says that I'm not a spy, and then someone says that that's kind of what a spy would say. And I feel like that's similarly to that of the good bad positions. It's okay, Luffy is bad, but that's what the state wants you to think. Does it mean that he's good? No, but it's mostly influenced by the very world of which you live in. It's a very insidious way of thinking of power that the state and the elites basically bend how you think based on the way of which they sort of set the tone and set the narrative of things and general life. And I think One Piece does manage to relate to that quite a lot. What this all boils down to is this battle for control within One Piece, when we have two ideas that simply don't work together. One which is seen as the, according to the state, as the preferable thing, the thing which maintains order within societies, relative to one which is deemed by the state as quote-unquote anarchy. This battle for control in One Piece shows us when part of the world challenges these very discourses and narratives and calls basically for their collapse in a sense. I do kind of disagree with that now I'm looking back at my notes. I don't particularly think the pirates especially, like, it's not really within their interest to go up to the government and want to destroy it. But equally, when they are faced with it and if they have to, they will call for its destruction if necessary. For now, based on where I am, who is morally correct or who is good or bad doesn't have much importance to me at the moment. What really will matter is who manages to or who is constructing and controlling history alongside the narratives of the story. The one who gains access to the ability to control these narratives and ideas is really the most important person here. With that being said, that is the analysis for this week. This has been a bit of a weird episode, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do segments again this week. I know I will get back to it in the moment. I don't want to say I promise, but I will try and make it a thing. It's just, this week has been a weird one, as you know. Not even weird, it's basically been a bad one. Regarding the things in the world right now, I do hope everyone is staying safe, obviously. And also just stuff with content as well on Shueisha and all these other things. It's very hard right now to make content, but I hope you do enjoy this episode to some extent. I will now go on to closing thoughts, just to wrap up some things. We did kind of go into a lot of smaller tangents here and there, into a lot of pockets, so I just want to round it up, and then we can end the episode for this week. So what is One Piece all about? I think that this debate, or at least discussion we've had on control, is a very one-sided discussion, unfortunately. But this discussion on control opens up what One Piece is in essence, or at least to me what it is. And it is this conflict, this never-ending conflict, but at least a confrontation between anarchy and order, or a quote-unquote order and quote-unquote anarchy. It's always going to be in the sort of quotation marky ways, because both of them kind of call each other that, but order is simply a facade and anarchy is simply a facade in this case. Where One Piece gets really important is who controls these definitions. having the influence to morph and change what these positions mean to people is what true control is, what hegemony or the prize of hegemony really is. And I don't particularly think the pirates are fighting for hegemony. They just want to be able to pirate around, and that isn't me sort of defending them. But I do kind of think it's a bit of a one-sided battle, as in the pirates threaten the position of the state, and hence the state deems them as bad because they're doing so, and hence attempts to eliminate them. Anarchy does not want to exist with hierarchy, and as a result, One Piece, the Marineford War, and just pre-time skip manages to show us that what will happen when these two finally confront, and over the course of years and years of writing from Oda, within this section alone, he manages to get to that very fundamental question, and that is really what is trying to be answered right now towards the end of pre-time skip. What I want you to really get from this podcast is that control is much more than just having power in the very hard sense. It's much more than hard power, but it is the very things which we take for granted. The words and definitions of the words which we use every day are manipulated by those who win this fight for control. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gaston the Mecha. That has been episode 77. I do hope you did enjoy this episode. I know it is also coming out a bit late, so I hope you do forgive me on that one. And I know this episode has also been a bit rambly as well, so I do apologize. I do want to get a bit more organized for some of these other episodes, particularly those One Piece ones as well. With everything going on, it wasn't the easiest thing to put together, but I do hope you did get some value from it, and maybe view One Piece from another perspective. If you do enjoy Guessing the Mecha, there are a few things you can do to support it, non-monetary things you can do to support. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be very appreciated for not only just leaving something good, but if you could leave feedback as well, that would be very helpful for knowing what I need to do moving forward with this pod. Additionally, if you could subscribe on YouTube, that would also be very appreciated too. If you want to get these regularly when I post them onto YouTube, they are often a bit delayed to the actual audio version, but if that is what you like and that is what you prefer, then feel free to subscribe as well so you can get them in notifications. But that's it. I have nothing else to say. I'm very tired of seeing the terms hegemony and order and chaos, but it's been a fun episode for me personally. Please stay safe, and I hope the world just manages to slowly move into a better direction with everything going on. But thank you for listening. I have been your host Jamal today, and this has been Gaston the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows: 8-bit title screen by Joth, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, and Difference by Chasers Gaming.